Yes, Lord, that's our prayer. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit personally in all of our individual lives. But Lord, to work amongst us and through us, Lord, that the world might know that Jesus is alive. Oh Lord, bless us and thank you that we can know the help of your Spirit. And we pray for his help as we come to look at your word as well, Lord. Give us light and understanding. And Lord, that we may live it, not just read it and know it, Lord, but live it. Because, Lord, that's where the blessing lies. As we seek to follow you, Lord, there's blessing in it. And we praise you and ask your mercies, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking at this little section in the Sermon on the Mount, we're starting in chapter 6. And just to say, Jesus isn't starting a new religion. And one of the things we notice as we'll go through that passage again is how often Jesus says, your Father in heaven. And he's describing this to his disciples to remind them that God is their Father. That's quite a revolutionary thought in those days. People addressed God as Father of the nation, but to have a personal relationship with the Father was quite something new, really. And but Jesus isn't changing the religion, he's just showing them the real heart of it all. So that's what we're going to be looking at. And a little question, are you religious? We'll be looking at things about alms and prayer and fasting, and these are most things that people practice, you know, as religions, don't they? But what we're after is, what does it really that Jesus wants? I've got a quote from James there. James says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Well, there's quite a few things to think about there, but we're going to be looking at these three particular categories were mentioned by Jesus in this passage that we come to, right? Okay. First of all, we're going to be looking at what alms are. And here's a picture of someone you might recognize. It's Mother Teresa. She was well known for her alms giving. She was a very wonderful lady, wasn't she? So Jesus says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Again, notice the underlining of the Father there. He's saying is, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness. That's the righteous deeds. It's another word for alms, really. And he says, don't do it so that people can see you. Or, whether people can see you or not, don't do it in order for the purpose to be just be seen. That's really what it's about. As Christians, we're meant to be people who care about people in need, you know. There are always people in our... Jesus said, you'll always have the poor with you. There are always people, perhaps, who are poor, worse off than we are, and we're not to be people who just walk by on the other side, as it were. Paul is mentioned there about when he had a meeting with the leaders at the church in Jerusalem. He says, all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I've been eager to do all along. So Paul is just passing on exactly what Jesus has said. You know, we're to be generous and kind to people in need. That's basically how we need wisdom for that, but that's what we're to do. Show your acts of righteousness, but not to be seen by people. He says, how not to do it? So when you yourself give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by men. I've put in brackets you yourself there because one of the problems with our modern translations is that you can't distinguish between you meaning more people and you meaning one person. Well, Jesus gives a general introduction by saying is when you do all this, he's talking to the group, but then he says specifically when you as an individual give to the needy, so he's getting personal. Do not announce it with trumpets. And they did. I mean, this is the strange thing. But of course, they're just doing it to show off and show how generous and good they are, of course. He says, don't announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to be honoured by men. And this is one of the words that Jesus uses quite often, hypocrite. A hypocrite is someone who wears a mask. That's where the word comes from originally. It's to someone who wears a mask pretending to be something that they aren't. It's an actor, really. And he's saying, is there they are, pretending to be kind and generous and very good feeling towards the needy, and all it is just to show themselves how wonderful they are, or at least they think they are, and they want people to think how good they are. And Jesus tells them one very important thing: I tell you the truth. That's our translation for saying amen. Jesus says amen, it's the last word of it. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. And that's the meaning of the word to receive. It's to receive in full. They've got their reward for their performance. What did they want? And what did they get? Well, they wanted people to notice them. They wanted people to think well of them. And that's all they're going to get. That's the point, really. They've received their reward in full. They will not be getting anything else. That's it. And so Jesus tells us, but when you give, that's you singular, remember, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Well, that doesn't mean to say you're just totally confused and don't know anything. But basically, it's really getting at the idea, isn't it, that you're not consciously doing these things. You're not thinking about how you're going to be kind and good and generous in that sort of selfish idea and selfish way. So don't let your left hand know what your right is doing. That's a nice way of phrasing it. And so that your giving is in secret. In other words, you're not there to announce it to everybody, but in secret, because your Father who sees what is done in secret, God sees it all. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, God knows everything. And the wonderful thing is, when we do it from the right motives, he rewards us. That's amazing, isn't it, really? You get blessed for blessing others. Well, that can't be bad, can it, really? But God is so gracious and generous. He blesses us when we do what we do for the right reasons, and we receive a reward as well. And you'll find that in so many areas of Christian service, that when you seek to bless and help others, it turns out you pick up something on the way. It's quite amazing. There's a lovely verse in Proverbs, which is a lovely one that's been a blessing to me over the years. It says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. It's a great verse, isn't it? And it could come at some very challenging times. And the Lord says, you give out from yourself, you'll find out that you get blessed in doing that. So don't let your left hand know what your right is doing. Your Father will reward you. And then we come to the topic of prayer. Jesus is introducing us to what prayer is about. Most religions practice prayer, of course, in some form or another. But Jesus is introducing us to something that's really very unique and special that he wants us to do. What does Jesus want? Well, he says, negatively first of all, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. It's them again, isn't it? For they love to pray standing in the synagogues. Wow! It's a show. That's what he's getting at. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. It's sad, isn't it, that when we can turn prayer into a performance for people to be impressed in how good we are at praying or whatever, or the type of things we're praying about even. It's like being on the street corner, so that people can see you, and that people can hear you. Not good, is what Jesus is saying. He says, and if that's what they're doing, that's all they're going to get, is noticed, and nothing more. They won't get answers, they'll just get noticed. So Jesus says, but when you, yourself, individually, pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Go into your room. Well, I've got a picture there of a person outside, inside a room, just to convey the idea that basically it's being on your own. It can be outside, of course, but the idea of being somewhere where others are watching you, that's really what it's about there. It's personal prayer to your Father, who is unseen. It might seem strange, doesn't it, really, talking to someone who you can't see, but he can see you. And that's the wonderful thing. God sees us and he hears what we're saying. And he says, then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. It's always about the heart, isn't it? The things that really go on the inside. And when we pray, we'll be rewarded. And what are the rewards of prayer, really? Answers, that God does what we're asking, because we ask it in the name of Jesus and according to his will. God answers our prayers. We see people blessed. We see things done for ourselves personally. Have you ever prayed for a parking place? You know, when you're coming somewhere, you ask the Lord to provide a parking place. Our Father can hear our prayers, and he's involved in all the things. I remember some years ago, I read, a lady went to a minister and says, I know we should pray about the big things, but is God really bothered about us praying about the little things? You know, the big things that I can understand, but the little things, well, is God really concerned about those? And the minister very wisely says, my love, he says, to the Almighty, they're all little things. Isn't that wonderful, yeah? God's concerned about the details, the little ant that crawls along the ground, and you, as the creature that he's made in his image, God cares about you all. Yeah, and your Father will answer your prayers. That's wonderful. But that's not just about prayer on your own. And I put in the verse from Acts chapter 1 verse 14. It says, they all joined together constantly in prayer. Remember, these are the disciples that have met the risen Lord after his resurrection. And then they gathered together, as Jesus told them to do, to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. He says they all joined together constantly in prayer. Well, they're not individually there, are they? But they're praying together. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's how you pray that's the heart issue again, isn't it? They all join together, and there's something wonderful about united prayer. Something a bit of a challenge I find in these days, because we're all chopped up into our little homes and our little places. How do we pray? And we should be praying about circumstances and situations and people and needs and so on. You can do that as an individual, but it's nice to be able to do it together with brothers and sisters as well. We're not there to show off, we're there to be united in our heart's desire to see God's will done, aren't we? Anyway, God will reward our prayers when we come to him with the right attitude. And so Jesus is going to train us and instruct us, but he gives us a warning. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So amusingly, babbling like pagans, he's basically saying, is that they use the same old phrase time and time again and think because they've got a lot of words in that God's going to listen better. God is not impressed by your vocabulary. You don't need to have big flashy words or anything like that. In fact, there's one lovely example of a very short prayer that Peter prayed. Remember, as he's about to go down under the water, he cried out, help! A very, very effective prayer that was, because the Lord answered that immediately, of course. So it's not about being impressive, big words, trying to be flashy. Praying from our hearts is what it's about. And sometimes, you might know this in Romans, where Paul says, we don't always know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, with sighs too deep for words. Sometimes just those heart breathings can be turned by the Holy Spirit into prayers. So it's not about big words, long words, flashy sentences. It's all about seeking God sincerely. And of course, sometimes we need to pray in tongues because we've no idea on how to pray about something. Just to speak to the Lord from the Spirit then. Then, this is how you should pray. And I just want to emphasize, Jesus says this is how you should pray. He doesn't say this is what you should pray, although we do pray this prayer, of course. But he's really saying, this is the prayer that shows you the kind of things that we need to pray for and pray about. This then is how you should pray. And he taught his disciples this prayer. And it starts with, Our Father in heaven. One of the amazing things that's important to realize is that we're not just on our own. We're part of the family of God. And we're praying for ourselves and our brothers and sisters, even though we come with our own personal prayers. So it's our Father, and we recognize he's our Father in heaven. He's on the throne. He's in charge. He's able to answer and be glorified in what he does. And our prayer is, hallowed be your name. May his name be honored and respected and valued in our lives and in the lives of people that we pray for. And in our world, of course. And that leads us to the prayer, your kingdom come. May God's rule, his reign in lives and societies and situations and, cultures, that his kingdom may reign and it may be glorified. And we want his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Lord gives an order in heaven, it's carried out immediately. When he tells us to do things on earth, we can be fairly reluctant sometimes to do it. But we want his will to be done on earth, and all the barriers and the obstacles and the blockages to be cut out and removed, so that God's perfect will can be done on earth just as it is in heaven. So that's, we're praying to the Lord. And then there are our personal requests. Give us today our daily bread. Our daily bread. Yes, we don't ask for next week's supply, it's today, because it keeps us depending on him. And then forgive us our debts. And of course, debts aren't just financial debts, of course. There are debts that we owe to God and to other people in terms of the things that we've done against them and wronged them. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Yes, people have hurt and upset and harmed us perhaps, and we're to forgive them, as Jesus warns us about later on. That's what we're to do. Keep the records clear. Yeah, that's good. And then lead us not into temptation. Keep us out of harm's way. That's it, because temptation can lead to sin if we're not careful. It's not wrong to be tempted, but we're very vulnerable people, aren't we? And the promise is that the Lord won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear as we're trusting him and asking for his grace. But deliver us from the evil one. That's one way of translating it. Most do say, but deliver us from evil rather than the evil one. Well, the devil's behind a lot of the problems, but I'd like to say there's more to it than that, of course. We have our own personal sinful nature that we've got to fight, and all the things around us as well that can lead us off in the wrong direction. So we need to be protected from evil. And then you notice in the text that the last part wasn't there. It's not there in some of the early manuscripts, although it is in some of the later ones. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's a good addition at the end, even if it wasn't there in the original. But I suspect that Jesus did include that, because it's part of our worship, isn't it? As we come back to recognise that God is the Lord of all, and that his name is to be praised. This prayer was, this last little bit, was part of the prayer that Solomon gave at the dedication of the temple. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. But Jesus offers us a serious warning. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's a serious warning. You know, unforgiveness is a serious block to answered prayer. How can we expect God to answer what we're asking for if we're not prepared to do it ourselves, in that sense? If we're not prepared to forgive, well, why should we ask him to forgive us? But the wonderful good news is, when we realise how much we've been forgiven, then it enables us to be able to forgive others. And we need to do that. Jesus is saying is that's really, really important in terms of our getting answers to our prayers, is that we don't hold grudges, we aren't holding back on others because of what they've done to us. We need to get the sheet cleaned, as it were. And that will open the way to our prayers being answered in wonderful ways. And so, I've just a little rundown, basically, again, on the Lord's Prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually the disciples' prayer, isn't it? The Lord didn't pray it. He told us to pray it. But I'm sure he did say these prayers as well, in that sense. God and his kingdom has first place in our hearts. That's the first part of the prayer, that God takes first place. And God is building his kingdom on earth, and we want to see that advance and be part of the process whereby we see God's kingdom growing and growing. And then we come to our needs for a blessed life. You want to be blessed? You want a blessed life? Well, you've got needs. We have daily necessities. God has offered to provide our daily necessities, and we come day by day to him to ask for his provision. And God provides in all sorts of amazing ways, doesn't he? That's wonderful. And then we need forgiveness. We're responsible for our forgiving others, and we're responsible of how we treat others, and we're responsible for how we let go when things have been hurting us. And also we need to pray for protection. As I said, we have enemies. There's the devil himself, but our own sinful natures and the world around us that's hostile to God as well. So we need to pray for protection. You know, you can't stand on your own. We need to be aware that we need the protection of the prayers of other brothers and sisters. We need the protection of God's word guiding our thoughts, and we need the protection of the Holy Spirit to motivate us and enable us to do what's right. And then it brings us to the end of the prayer again, to praise and worship the Lord. That's what we're meant to do, praise and worship Him. That's what we're created for, to know Him, to serve Him, to enjoy Him and bless Him. They used to, a long time ago, they had what they called the Westminster Confession, and it was a sort of group of questions and answers to teach you what Christian life and living was about. And one of the questions was, what is the chief end of man? That meant, what was our purpose? What are we here for? What is the chief goal, is the idea now, I suppose. What's the chief goal for man, mankind? And the answer was, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Yes, we can glorify God, but there's more to that than just glorifying God, because even evil people will glorify God in their judgments. But we glorify God by doing what's right. But he says, and to enjoy Him forever. That takes religion out of religion. It makes it a life thing. It makes it a thing that we love and enjoy to do and to be. To enjoy Him forever. And then we come to this subject of fasting. It's not one that we think much about, I guess, most of the time. Most religions do practice fasting. I don't know if you're aware of that, but they do. But Jesus has got some extra things to tell us about it, and things not to do as well, of course. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. They're obviously not enjoying fasting, you can see that. They look somber, that's the, put on a miserable face. Let everybody know how tough it is to fast, and how hard a time you are, you're doing, just to show how good a guy you are at this religious exercise. He says, well, when people notice you're fasting and you're doing it for their benefit, you'll get your reward. That's all you'll get. You've received your reward. They've noticed you. And they thought, isn't he great? Well, and that's not good anyway, is it? Because they're not great. But Jesus says, but when you yourself, you singular again, when you yourself fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting. Notice Jesus says, when you fast. I don't think we fast very often, do we? Some people do that more than others, perhaps. But there is a place for fasting, for putting aside the food or putting aside some activity or something like that to concentrate on either prayer or doing something for the Lord, yes? And he says, put oil on your head. That's, you know, the old, remember the old Brill Cream adverts? You know, you get you nice and smooth on your head there. Put oil on your head and wash your face. Put on your best appearance. Yeah, that's really the idea. So that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting. Because the usual procedure was, they all made it obvious that people were fasting. Well, Jesus says, don't make it obvious. Now, but only to your Father who is unseen. It's your Father again, notice, who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So what's the reward for fasting? Going without food for a little while. What's the reward? Well, concentrates the mind, hopefully not on food. You've got time, other time to spare, to be able to do the things that you think are important in the kingdom for God. That's one of the things. Yes, whatever health benefits there may be, and there probably are health benefits as well, I don't think that's really what it's about. The reward is that you've got time to spend more with the Lord, things for Him to do, yeah? And I just a little comment, a bit tongue-in-cheek in a way, it is unlikely that you will die if you miss a meal or two in order to focus on God's purposes. No, that won't happen, I don't think. There is a place for fasting. That's what he's saying, is when things are serious. And you read about some of these dear people in the Bible who did some serious fasts. One, not intended first of all, I guess. Moses went up the mountain 40 days and 40 nights without feeding and drinking. That was supernatural in the sense that the Lord kept him all that time, because you can't go 40 days without drinking. But the idea is basically that the Lord wants us to trust him and to see him at work. So Moses did one, and then there's the likes of Daniel. He fasted and the Lord answered his prayers in amazing ways. And of course our Lord Jesus fasted as he was preparing for his ministry in the wilderness. It says Jesus fasted those 40 days in the wilderness. So there's a place for it, that's all I'm trying to say is, but we're not there to impress people. We're there to make ourselves available for the Lord to work in us and work through us. And so, just to conclude it all, to bring it together, there's a place for our in our lives for this, let's say religious activities, but they're not meant to be religious activities, they're meant to be real. And this is a good summary. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. He teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, to redeem us from all wickedness, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. And so, there's a no side. We don't do it that way. We don't fast that way. We don't pray that way. We don't give alms that way. But yes, there is a yes that we do things the way God wants us to do them, to honour him and to glorify his name. So may God help us to do that. And finally, putting it all together, most religions practice all of these things, alms, prayer, fasting. But what Jesus really getting at is, it's all about a relationship with God. That's what our prayers are meant to encourage and build. That's our giving, is that we're acting as our Father wants us to act. We're aiming to please him. And when we're fasting, we're concentrating our time on being in fellowship with him. Yes, so it's about a relationship with God. And Jesus said that to that dear lady at the well, remember? Yet a time is coming and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. So it's not just the outward stuff, that's all for appearance. It's the case of our hearts and our spirits worshipping and praising the Lord. So I hope that is helpful in encouraging us to pray, and encouraging us to give to others as we see the needs, and encouraging us to spend time with the Lord. It's one of my concerns in this present time and circumstances with all the lockdown. How do we pray? How do we? Because prayer is so important in the work of the kingdom of God. You know, it all really comes down to, it boils down to seeking God and asking his blessing. Because without him, we will accomplish nothing. And we'll never reach the people that need to know Jesus. So just encourage you to pray, brothers and sisters, in some way, some form or another, with those that you can nearby, or joining with others where you can as well. But let's pray and ask God's blessing, yeah?